to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Hopefully Guru will be back tomorrow. Tonight.
It is a Thursday.
Golden State Warriors open the 2024-2025 season in Portland against the Blazers. And we're in a new era with the Golden State Warriors. A new era. Hopefully there's new energy, more positive energy. Last 2 years, a little bit of an angst.
It just felt very stressed. Everybody always felt stressed. It was, you know, whether, even when they were playing well, it was like, I don't know. They're just, for whatever reason, there appears to be more optimism. And I think a caller hit the F word on the head. Freedom. Feels like they're more free this year. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, Clay or just putting the last couple of years behind them. But I don't know. They got guys in here that can play now. And played in together, most importantly.
Draymond Green's always a wild card. We know that. How do you feel when you hear Steve Kerr say this about Draymond?
Draymond and I have been together 10 years, and we talk all the time about everything. And he's in a great place. He's at a really good camp, not just in practice every day and what we've seen in games, but just his leadership and his approach, his energy. So I don't know what year it is for him. I think maybe 13. So, you know, he knows what we need of him, and he and I work together all the time, and we are anticipating a great season from Dre.
And that's something where you want to – that's the other reason you want to stay competitive.
Yep.
Is to keep Draymond Green in the mix, because we know that sometimes his interest level will wane, to say the least, if he doesn't think he's playing for anything. So if the Golden State Warriors are competitive early, I think that sets a tone for Draymond Green. What, I mean, you know, it's funny, as Guru and I go back and forth all the time, and Steiny, if he doesn't do, well, he did. But, you know, if he doesn't punch pull, but he did. And when's it going to happen again? But you know what? I just don't. There's no chance that he's going to mess up three straight seasons. That's the way I look at it.
All right, cut that.
There's no... Go ahead. Yeah, you cut it. There's no chance Draymond Green ruins the third straight season. You heard it here first. Put it in the cap. I'll put it this way. Nobody can be that dumb. Come on, Draymond. You're smarter than that. We know it.
I do think he is. I mean, he... Well... I'd like to believe
he is smarter than that.
He is smarter than that. But I also think he's smart enough to... Look, when I hear that, forgive me if I need to wait and see. Now, I do think a fast start will help the Warriors. But, again, that was one of my questions of the five that we've been going through, the big five questions from this season. Because it's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, could Draymond derail something? Yeah, he's done it before. He could do it again. But I'd like to believe, because I don't know, because of either reflection or just the sheer willing to compete, that he won't. I mean, Steiny, it really does come down to hope. And like, if he does it again this season, I wouldn't be surprised. But the Warriors do need him, you know, and that is a fact. So I'll put it this way. Draymond Green, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong and prove everyone else that believes that you have the capacity to derail a third season in a row, prove us wrong. And I mean that, I'm not trying to be an ass about it. Like, seriously, I hope that Draymond Green proves me wrong in my skepticism for his ability to stay on the floor for an extended period of time because of his own actions. If he gets hurt, that's different. But he has done things at the beginning and throughout seasons to hurt the Warriors, and I want him to reverse course.
I think most Warrior fans would love that also. Let's go to Tom's in Sonoma. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man?
Hey, Steiny. Hey, Evan. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so this is... Hey, I'm excited. I think this is a better team than it was last year. I've been watching these guys in every, exhibition game, and I'm seeing they're focused. They got the eye of the tiger, man. They look hungry. And that's what I didn't see in the last couple of years. The other thing is I feel we're up against the window, man. We either do it this year or they're going to dissect this team. But they were smart to not sign Kuminga because I feel that they can trade him in February if he doesn't work out for us instead of giving him a big bag. And can also tag Wiggins or Draymond. But I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that that's an outcome that could happen. The other thing is, at the end of the season, something's going to happen. We have to be competitive. We've got to make it to the playoffs. If we can grow from that, then we will be a winning team again. Go Warriors.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the call. You know what else? And I don't know why this is, but I am feeling this in a very strong way. And it's part of this where they're at right now. I feel like for whatever reason, I'm going into this year with the Warriors and the past is gone. Anything that happened in the past is gone. And what I mean by that is Draymond Green, four-time champion. Okay, yeah, that's gone. That's gone. That was then. Well, Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole and then getting suspended last year. You know what? That also was then. And when I look up and down this roster, I look at Jonathan Kuminga. Okay, he's had 3 years of some inconsistency. He's gotten a shot here and there. He hasn't gotten a shot at other times. He's displayed flashes of greatness, but there's also times where he doesn't play great. Who cares? He's at zero right now. Like, nothing that happened in the past matters. It only matters from this point on. And to me, they've got about five guys like this that's the way I'm choosing to go into this season. Andrew Wiggins. Look, we know what the last 2 years have been for Andrew Wiggins. He's been a shell of himself. And to me, rather than say at this point, well, he's just not very good. He doesn't play with heart. He doesn't care. And you know what? It's day one for Andrew Wiggins. The last 2 years doesn't matter. They don't matter right now. What's Wiggins going to be from tonight to the end of the season? Ditto for Draymond Green. Last two seasons were a nightmare for you. Okay. You got criticized for it. You've got ripped for it. You got suspended for it. And you've lost a lot of fans. Okay. But it's a new year. And can he be a Draymond Green from 3 or 4 years ago in terms of, you know, the way you approach the game? Ditto for even a guy like Kevon Looney. Nahegan had me laughing so hard the other day when he just said, yeah, so I hear Looney's in great shape. Everybody's excited about Looney. Seemed to lose weight. Well, what happened last year?
He basically called him fat.
Why was he not in great shape last year, ostensibly? You know what? Doesn't matter. He can't get in shape for last year. He's in shape this year. So let's see what Kevon Looney can do this year. That's what I mean by, and then you got three new guys, three new role players coming in here we've never seen before. I love the idea of one of my most favorite things in basketball to do, and in any sport, is when your team acquires a player or players that you know you haven't seen them play 40 games a year. You just haven't. Yeah, we've seen Minnesota and Kyle Anderson. We got a good sense of his game. We know what Buddy Hield does. But when you watch players for 60, 70, 80 games, you get such a better sense of exactly who they are as players. And that, to me, is exciting. What, like, who's the Anthony Melton? And I don't mean that negatively. Who is this guy? If you're telling me this is a guy who can make some threes and defend, you might be better at the two just with him in terms of a fit and in terms of chemistry and stuff like that. So when I say I'm wiping the slate clean, like I really mean it. Like, everything that happened in the last 2 years doesn't really matter anymore. It's what are you going to do this year, Evan?
No, and that's why I think the team is in a better headspace entering this season, because unlike the last couple of years, stick with me for a sec, there are players with things to prove, but not proving that they're the players of old. Like Klay Thompson wanted to prove something the last two seasons, that he was the Klay Thompson pre-ACL and Achilles. And I don't know how close he came to achieving his goal, but it never felt like it was enough. Chris Paul, even though I think he fit last year's team from a basketball standpoint, he's in San Antonio because he's trying to prove that he's still a starting point guard in the NBA.
Yep.
Draymond Green, meanwhile, is trying to prove that he isn't the problem child that he's been labeled the last two seasons. Andrew Wiggins has something to prove that he can be available, that he can help. But those two guys aren't trying to turn back the clocks and be Wiggins from 22. Draymond Green's not trying to be Draymond from 2016. They're trying to prove that they're players that can help this team. I don't think that Jonathan Kuminga is trying to prove that he deserves $200 million. I think he's trying to prove that he can help this team. Those players that you mentioned, Melton, I don't think he's trying to prove that he's not injury prone. He's trying to prove that he's a legitimate basketball player that has a skill set that can help a winning team. Buddy Hield, I know maybe because of his game and how aggressive he is and how much he jacks the ball up that people assume that he's not a good player, but I think he's trying to prove that he can fit on a winning team, which is what he did in Indiana before he got shipped to Philly. So these players have something to prove, not to themselves or to their former selves, but to whatever the Warriors are going to be this season. So from that standpoint, I really like, and I think it's why Steve Kerr is talking about this team feeling lighter. It's because there's less baggage. There's less baggage on this team than there was, even though a couple of the players are still here from, you know, the last two seasons.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to come without challenges. And one of the challenges that I think Steve Kerr is going to have, and it's from day one, assuming this team is healthy, is he's got too many guys who think they can play.
Yeah.
Curry, Pajemski, Moody, Hield, Melton, Wiggins, that's six. Anderson, Green, Payton, that's nine. Looney, Jackson Davis, Kuminga. It's like, oh boy. You know, how is that going to work out? Here's what Steve Kerr had to say yesterday with Willard and Dibbs.
That's my job, is to coach these guys and talk to them day in and day out and make sure they're doing well and make sure they're aware of their circumstances. And that's what coaching is. So, yeah, the depth is a great problem to have, but it doesn't come, you know, without some difficulty in terms of you know, guys not being thrilled all the time, and that's part of the deal. And so we'll coach them up and we'll have them ready to go.
That's one of the things that I'm going to look for too, and that is, with this many guys in the rotation, does Steve Kerr whittle it down to 9 or 10, and then one or two guys don't play? And will the one or two guys who don't play be the same guys who don't play consistently? And I think at least to start, it's going to head in the other direction, where tonight, for example, let's say the Warriors are in a close game, and okay, who does he have on the floor? Oh, you know, wow, Kyle Anderson didn't play tonight. Now, he might be the wrong person to use there. But maybe tonight Gary Payton II doesn't play and Moody does. And then maybe game two or three, Payton plays, but Moody's minutes go down a little bit. I think that's the one thing we got to prepare ourselves for, at least early in the season.
Yeah, and if you have 10 or 11 guys, which this was a problem they also had last year, but again, there's less players at the top of the hierarchy that need to be on the floor or they check out, I think. And, you know, look, Kerr's going to have the issue all year. Fans aren't going to like it. Guru, Spadoni, everybody here is going to talk about the fact that, all right, this guy should have played more one night. And there's, in fact, there might be more, right, of those moments. Like last year, remember Kerr after the Sacramento game came out and said, like, I made the wrong choice. Like, I should have stuck with Moody, and I didn't. I think there's going to be moments like that this season. But hopefully weaved into a positive locker room, unlike last year, which I don't think was as together. So, you know, one thing I wonder about tonight is if the fact that they are deep will help preserve some of those players throughout the season. Like, Let's be honest.
Right.
Gary Payton II's injury prone.
Exactly.
Okay, so, hey, Gary, you're playing two of these three games this week. You're not going to play on Friday against Utah. We're going to play tonight against Portland, and we're going to play on Sunday against the Clippers. You're not playing on Friday. They'll give you 3-4 days to rest. Get your body right. So that's another reason why you have to watch every game, in my opinion, to learn more about this team, but also learn, all right, so if you can only pick nine, like the Lakers last night played in a relatively tight game. They played nine guys. Does Kerr have the nine guys set for this Portland game tonight?
It's a great question.
That means that Moody might be out, or Lindy Waters ain't going to play. Or maybe Kyle Anderson, maybe Looney doesn't play.
Right.
So are those guys going to be in on Friday? Game to game, I think that the rotation is going to fluctuate a lot. And as long as they're winning, I think that's going to keep them together.
And I think that's kind of what happened last year. And I think about it like this. Let's say you have 82 games. Okay, some games you get blown out. And some games you blow out the opponent. So that leaves the games in the middle where, let's say, the last 6 minutes determine the outcome. If you don't win those games consistently, or you're losing more than you're winning in those situations, that's when people start waking up the next morning and say, well, why didn't Moody play but Payton did? Or, you know, why didn't Kuminga play but Wiggins did? The only way those questions don't get faced loudly is if you win a majority of those games. And I felt like, and I'll have to go back and look at the numbers, but it felt like they didn't do well in, and I don't know what the 3 points or less and 5 points or less, but they had opportunities a lot last year and let games get away. And when a game gets away, that's when people start saying, well, who didn't play that could have, and who played that didn't play well enough? And that's a trap you want to try to avoid, and the only way you can avoid it is if you are consistently winning those games or a significant percentage of them.
I also think this team has more established roles at the beginning of this year than the team last year. We didn't know about Pajemski last year.
True.
He ended up taking minutes from veteran players. We didn't know about Trayce Jackson-Davis last year. He ended up taking minutes from veteran players and forcing rotations that forced this guy in, that forced this guy out. I think there's more established roles in this team. So, like the exercise you and I did before the show of just going down the roster. All right, who plays guards? Curry, Melton, Pajemski, Hield. Four guards.
Yep.
Who are their forwards? Wiggins, Kuminga, Kyle Anderson, Gary Payton II. Moody's kind of a tweener. Centers. Trayce Jackson-Davis, Kevon Looney, Draymond fits between the forward and center category. Like, there's more established roles for these players, and now it's just up to Kerr to figure out where he's going to allocate minutes. But I feel like all those players that I just listed, they have an idea of how they're going to be used far more than they did last year.
I would agree with that, and I think part of that's because the young guys have another year under their belt, and the three guys they acquired all know how to play whatever their role is to the best of their ability. Let's go to David. David's in El Cerrito. El Cerrito. Hey, David.
Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm interested, Steiny, in your take on the LeBron, Bronny thing. I don't mean to pull you guys out of what you're talking about, but the thing is, like, the reason why I find it so annoying is because I coach kids and I coach my kid and I've played sports pretty competitively. And there are always those kids who end up on the select team or the competitive team, the kids that don't deserve to be on the team. And we all know how they get onto these teams because of who they know or their connections or how much their parents paid, all that stuff. But those kids tend to get on those teams and those kids kind of get hidden on those teams. We don't hold parades for those kids who didn't deserve to be on the team. And it seems like with LeBron, like, he's such a next-level narcissist that he's almost forcing this whole thing on everyone and acting like this is all natural. This is supposed to be how it is. Oh, it's not. He's supposed to be here. When everyone can see, he's so not supposed to be there. And I feel worse for the kid because he's just a pawn in LeBron's strange brain that this is all happening. But I'm watching this thing last night thinking to myself, this is embarrassing, and he doesn't even see it.
Who, Bronny or LeBron?
LeBron. Gotcha. Bronny's just a kid.
Right.
I feel bad for Bronny. Like, he's not, he didn't ask for this. He didn't ask to be put on this team. He didn't ask to go in the game last night. His dad's like, the Lakers announced that Bronny will be put in early in the game. Like, they announced that before the game.
Right.
So regardless of how the game is even flowing, Bronny will be in. Don't you worry.
Right. No, I hear you. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call.
Well, he had to play. I mean,
well, and maybe I'm wrong here, but maybe you get that out of the way, and now Bronny gets 14 straight DNP CDs. I don't know.
Yeah, he goes to the G League.
But, I mean, as it relates to LeBron and Bronny, I get the two sides of the argument or the multiple sides of the argument. I'm just not captivated by the story as much as other people. You know, I get it's different, but I kind of lump this in with, you know, teams take chances on projects all the time. And the fact that Bronny James might not be an NBA player now, who knows what he's going to turn into in 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I think of a guy like Jeremy Lin, who Joe Lacob signed, and nobody knew who he was, and he came to the Warriors, and he was not very good, and I don't think he was an NBA player when he first got signed by the Warriors. 3 years later, you know, obviously Linsanity, but then what happened to Jeremy Lin's career? He settled into kind of who he was, which was pretty good backup point guard, and, you know, if you had to start him, it wasn't going to be the strength of your team, but he became an NBA player over the course of time, and who's to say Bronny James can't do that? But this one's not hitting me in a way that I have a strong opinion. I'll just be honest with you.
Well, I've kind of done a 180 on it. Like, at first I thought it was dumb and it was idiotic, but I don't know. Like, I was at a bar last night with some friends who were Lakers fans, and so, like, they were excited to see LeBron and Bronny play together and all the rest, and really what just hit me about it was it does at the end of the day come down to basketball. And who's to say that another player not named Bronny James wouldn't have hurt the Lakers just as much in the 3.5 minutes that he played? Like, I told the boss this. He looked like a fish out of water. He didn't look like he was ready to play. And I don't know how he really could with everything in that moment. It wasn't about his dad for me there. It was about him. Like, he's making his first appearance in an NBA basketball game, and he looked overwhelmed. But a lot of players do. And so what happens? Well, he's probably not going to play much. Like, the Lakers went on and won the game, despite him getting 3.5 minutes. So if you thought it was cool, I'm happy for you. If you hated it, I guess I would just ask you why. Like, if you could give a child like that opportunity, even though it's kind of a sideshow, I think you'd do it. You know, the whole family was there. I mean, I don't know. I just didn't really. I thought I was going to be mad watching it happen, and I felt differently.
Well, I was, again, like I said, I'd been in a good mood. 7-6-5. That's a terrible analogy. Lin earned his way competitively. He earned his way competitively after he was given the opportunity because Joe Lacob knew who he was and liked him. Yes, he earned it after he was given an opportunity that others didn't get. And who's to say LeBron James's son, Bronny, in a few years won't have earned his way onto an NBA roster like Jeremy Lin? I think it's a great analogy.
You predicting Bronsanity?
Not necessarily. Hey, don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with Evan Giddings and Lorenzo Neal live from 1 to 4. They're getting you for 3 hours now, aren't they? Before Sunday Night Football, presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Crossover coming up in 10 minutes with Dan Dibley and Mark Willard. And the Warrior season starts tonight in Portland against the Blazers. You can catch it all right here on 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy, he'll be on the call. Exciting times. There's nothing like, you know, these first games, the optimism just flows through your body like sweat.
Still optimistic about,
yeah.
You still optimistic about the Wolves?
I'm curious to see how it's going to work out. I did, Julius Randle looked heavy, like the barrel chest.
Well, heavier than Looney. Lost 30
pounds. That's not what I said.
No, he looks big. All right, let's just put the rat on the table.
All right.
Let's end this this brawny conversation. Anybody who's mad at the nepotism, which, by the way, infects about every single root of the American culture, you know you should direct your ire at? The Philadelphia 76ers. Have you seen what they're trying to do with all their relics that they got? Joel Embiid is on a quote-unquote ramp-up program over the next couple of weeks that will keep him out. They're trying to shrink the season. What they're trying to do with Paul George, who, to be fair, got hurt in preseason, along with this piece of glass that can't remain upright, talking about Embiid, and when he does get to the postseason, either breaks down, gets hurt, or can't perform in the biggest moment, they're basically just trying to shrink his season so he can somehow, after giving him $200 million a month ago, get to the end of that contract. The Philadelphia 76ers are bigger culprits of just making the product poor in the NBA than the Los Angeles Lakers. They already told you what they're doing. They hired a podcaster as head coach and signed the son of their best player. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia 76ers have basically said, Joel Embiid is on the shelf for as long as we want him to. Paul George might not play. Here you go, Tyrese Maxey, a couple young guys, and try and win some basketball games. What they're doing is stupid. If I was a Philadelphia 76ers fan, I'm glad Buddy Hield left that place. Bring him over here where you actually get to compete and the boys aren't just going to lean into load management. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I got other things to worry about.
Finchy.
Abe in San Diego. What's up, Abe? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you guys?
Good.
I just want to make some comments about the Warriors' biggest question.
Okay.
I think one thing to look for is how they handle clutch games. You know, obviously Steph won clutch player of the year last season, but they did drop a lot of games where either they led by 20 points or games that were decided by, you know, 5 or less points. So I think this year, you know, we're obviously going to see good stretches from this team, but how are they going to close out these clutch games? How are they going to handle you know, those close games? I think that's going to be a big question for them. Last season, they lost so many games by 1 point. And that could have been, you know, the difference between being the 10th seed or the 5th seed even. So along with that, I think Wiggins, too, is one of the biggest questions. If he can be, you know, I don't think he necessarily needs to be an all-star, but if he can be a strong presence for the Warriors, I think him, Draymond, and Steph leading the way, you know, this team has a really, really high ceiling.
Appreciate the call. I don't know how high, Steiny, how many wins you got for the Dubs this year?
Somewhere between 30 and 50.
I forget what I said.
I think it was 35 and 55, right?
I'm going to say 47.
So you are taking the over.
Well,
actually, that's a pretty comfortable over. I know, well, 3.5 wins doesn't sound like a lot to people, but in betting markets it is.
Well, for me, I think the goal is to win more games than last year. That's one reason I picked 47.
Hmm.
But a lot needs to go right. A lot needs to go right.
I think it's a good line. I think if they don't make a move, like if this team plays the full 82 out, I would probably say 44 wins. And I think that's good enough to get you to the play-in. I also think that the West is not going to be as good as it was last year. I don't think we're going to have, what was it, 650-win teams? 5 or 650
something
win teams.
Like that.
So 44 wins or maybe 45 wins might actually get you to a top 6 seed this season, unlike last year.
It's possible. It's absolutely possible. And obviously health's a big part of it. But
yeah, you're more optimistic than I am.
I am. I like some of their players. I like some of their players. Why didn't anyone talk about all the games that they possibly could have won when they were load-managing players? The Warriors? Warriors didn't do a lot of load-managing last year that I can remember.
Well, they didn't have the choice.
Yeah, because they did have some guys.
Guys were either suspended or hurt or just old.
Yeah. Should be fun.
In fact, I think that's...
63's a game.
Well, they didn't load-manage Curry. That's probably why he didn't shoot the ball well at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me tell you what I do have, though. I have the under on 25 road wins again. Weren't they the best road team in basketball last year?
They were one of them. Yeah. All right. Actually, we do need to come up with bets for the NBA season. Not for the Warriors, of course, but also for the rest of these teams. Like I sent you guys, when I was in Vegas, I sent you that picture of the over-under totals for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 43.5. The team that I have the most confidence in going under would actually be the Houston Rockets.
What's their number?
43.5.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's pretty high.
That is high.
I know everyone's really high on them, and they had a late run down the stretch of last year. In fact, they almost caught the Warriors for the 10 seed. I do not see it with the Rockets. That will be my lock for the NBA season.
You know what also? I haven't thrown this stat out in a while. Here's where they won't miss Klay Thompson. I shouldn't do this. This is really taking a shot at him.
Well, he took a lot of shots last year.
In the last four Warrior elimination games.
Oh, well.
Games that the Warriors had to win to stay alive. Four games, last four games, he was 10 for 50 from the floor.
Oh, my God.
He finished last year 0 for 10. Against the Kings. Then in the last two playoff games against the Lakers, when they were eliminated, 6 for 31. And then if you'll remember game 7 mm-hmm. against the Kings,
yep.
where they won the game.
Curry had 50, yeah.
He was 4 for 19. So Klay didn't exactly rise to the occasion.
Well,
in those
he didn't.
But that's a cheap shot.
No, he didn't have the worst elimination game in recent memory. Not even close.
We'll talk about that on the other side with Willard and Dibs on the crossover. I think I know what you mean.